Well, three elderly ladies were sitting around one night talking about trials of being old. One of them said, "Just the other day, I was standing in front of the refrigerator with a jar of mayonnaise, and I didn't remember, was that making a sandwich or was that putting it up in the refrigerator? I can't remember." The second lady chimed in. She said, "Yeah, I was on the staircase the other day, and I couldn't remember if I was going up or if I was going down." And the third lady said, "Thankfully, I don't have that problem, ladies. I'm good." Because, knock on wood. What was that? Is that the door? I'll get it. Oh, man. It's another witty fellow that said it this way. He said, "My rememberer is broke. My rememberer is broke. But my forgetterer is getting better." And I'm not that old yet, but I can relate. The sermon today is all about remembering God. Our passage is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is all about retelling the law and Moses in his final sermons before he passes away and he gets to watch his people, God's people, walk into the promised land. He gives them Deuteronomy. And his message is, don't you forget. Don't you forget. Remember the Lord your God. And that's the message for us this morning. I think very pertinent for us today, for sure. So, could I pray for us? God, I don't want this message to go in one ear and out the other. And I mean mine, too. Your word is life-changing. So, Holy Spirit, speak through me, your words through me. And may you make a mark in our heart that when we walk out of here, we will remember you. In Jesus' name, amen. And when I mean remember, it's more about appreciating God. In my Bible, I keep several pictures to remember God. And one of them is a picture of youngest son, Holden, who, when he was born, he was born without any vital signs at all. It took a while for them to, intubate him to get him breathing. They said he probably won't make it 24 hours. Stink, I wasn't supposed to do that. I'm sorry. But God saved him, and he just chose to. Dang it. He's perfectly healthy. It reminds me that God is good. He chose to be good to me, to our family. And to hold, and that serves as a reminder to me of God's greatness. And I'm reminded that I want to be like the leper in Luke. Chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, you can see, be reminded of the story that Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only one came back, and they all called him, "Master, have mercy on us," and he did. But only one turned back, praising God, and fell on his face, and said, "Thank you." So my question for you and for me this morning is, which leper are you today? Because we've been so blessed, haven't we? We look back on who God is, what he's done for us, and what he's going to do. Have you forgotten? I want to be that one leper that goes back every day. So the message for today is, let's remember who God is, what he's done, and what he's going to do, and be grateful. It's a good week. To think about that, because this is Thanksgiving week, right? All right. Well, so now let's go to the text this morning. If you would, stand up and we'll read together Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 20. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land," Moses is telling these people, "a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Well, first thing I want you guys to think about as we read these scriptures is God promises provision. That's the first note there in your outline. He gives us gifts. Look at that. Verse 7. The Lord your God is bringing you, and let me stop there, for the Lord your God, there is the Lord, there is one God, and he is yours. He is your God with a capital G. He's personal. He's covenantal. Like there's a relationship. People, listen, this is our God and he's committed to you guys. Will you be committed to him? So the Lord your God, he's reminding him. Actually, he reminds him in these 14 verses, 7 times, he says, the Lord your God, as a reminder. And that it's he who is bringing you into this good land. Another reminder, it is God, it's not you, who's bringing you into the good land. And the good land is pretty awesome, a lot different from where they came. As a reminder, he says, look, this land that you're about to walk into, got brooks of water flowing. It's a very beautiful picture. Land of wheat and barley, okay? And there's lots of fruit. There's olive oil, which is great for cooking, which is great for lighting lamps and for anointing people. And there's even honey. It's a land where you will eat without scarcity. Like that, like buffet all the time. In which you will not lack anything. Wow. A land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. In other words, it's going to be rich, rich land. There's going to be productivity. You can find sustenance as you get the iron and copper out. It's a great, beautiful picture of what paradise is going to be like. Matter of fact, it's a great picture of what it was probably like in the Garden of Eden back in Genesis 1 and 2. And it's a good description of as Jesus did the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 as he satisfied the people and there was plenty left over. And it's, of course, a great picture of what it's going to be like for you and I when we do cross over into the promised land. Be reminded, God gives us good gifts. He's given us good gifts, and he will continue to give us. He desires to give you all the best. He's got your best interests in mind for his glory. So hang on for the ride. When you have eaten and are satisfied, here's the command, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. May we never forget that. That's the key verse for today, I would say. We want to keep in mind that we might bless the Lord our God for the good land. And to bless, that's an exclamation of gratitude and admiration. It's recognizing and being thankful to the giver. So may we do that. Second point. Well, let me say this. You may want to write down this verse, Philippians 4:19, just as a reminder. It says, "And my God will supply every need according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Isn't that great? So we can trust God for him to provide. Point two, providential purpose. He's got a plan. It's his plan in our lives. I'm going to skip over to verse 15. It says, "He led you through the great and terrible wilderness." And look how terrible it was. It's desolate. 40 years they dealt with this. Fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty ground. There was no water. What a contrast to the promised land, right? "He brought water for you out of a rock." How about that? Miraculously, he was showing himself to these people to keep them, to help encourage their faith. Think about how many times God does that for us, right? We're thankful for those miracles he does in our lives. "In the wilderness, he fed you manna," which your fathers didn't know. Yeah, they were complaining and grumbling. God, in his mercy, started feeding them by dropping white pieces of bread from the sky. Imagine that. They looked up and said, "What? What is it?" Which is what manna means. I guess in Hebrew it means, what is this? It's manna. Oh, wow, okay, it's food. I mean, God miraculously did that for them. And then hitting a rock and then water comes out of a rock? I think God's making a point there. Nothing is too difficult for God. We can trust him, even in the most desperate times. He wants us to be desperate. He wants us to say, "God, oh, help us. Help me. Help me. I need you. I trust you. Give it whatever I need for your glory." To be desperate. He wants us in that situation, that he might humble you, as this verse continues, verse 16, that he might test you. Why? To do good for you in the end. I highlighted that right there. His intention is to do good for you in the end. This is God's heart for you. Be encouraged. He's got your best interest in mind for his glory. You know, sometimes the kindest thing God can do is to remove blessing from our lives so that we remember it's not the blessing. It's about the blessor. It's about the creator. It's not about me. He just wants us to trust him. There's a time this year, for really several months, and I can't be super specific with this, but for me, I was going through just a tremendous amount of stress and trying to handle it on my own, in the sense of I found it difficult to turn it over to the Lord. I would wake up in the morning and my heart would just be beating fast. The situation, to be generic, was I had been generous towards someone and just got taken advantage of, lied to, trampled on, and I didn't know kind of what to do. It was a financial thing too, and so it was just, it was like, Lord, I'd wake up, what do you want me to do? What do I do? I should have done this. I should have done that. And I was filled with, like, I don't know if you guys are like this at all, but just, I'm just a mess, and I'll wake up that way. And then the only thing that would help me was to remember who God was, what he's done, and what he's going to do. And so I would walk through the ABCs of God's characteristics. That would be helpful, right? You guys ever done this? If you know Linda Ayers, you've heard this, but okay, God, a character quality of A, you're almighty. Oh, thank you for that. B, you came as a baby for me. So you kind of walk through the alphabet and you remember who God is. And then I can be sitting and be thankful. God, I can't believe the fact that I have the ability to walk is amazing. The fact that I have the ability to walk to my refrigerator is amazing. I've got cold water in the refrigerator. Thank you for the cup to put water in. I mean, this is the key to avoiding what Moses is warning, that we forget God, because everything that we have and everything that we experience, every good gift comes from the Father above. We don't deserve anything. I appreciate Chris's testimony so much. It's a reminder of what God has done for us and how he desires to save. It's good. So the verse that you want to put down there for providential purpose, which is the second point, he's got a plan, Romans 8:28. I mean, how can you argue not to include that is God who's at work in you to willing to work for his purpose, which he prepared before him. Isn't that awesome? Well, flipping back. Oh, let me say this. I just got to say this. I hope this encourages you. This is kind of my prayer card. Months ago, I wrote this as a reminder of God's truth. Believe in me. Believe me. Believe. This is what God is asking of me. And I said, don't you dare disrespect God by playing God, Todd, by trying to handle what only God is able to handle. Worry is an affront to God. Self-pity ignores God. Fear distrusts him. Doubt assumes that God isn't really God, that God is God, and he is good, and he's supernaturally, miraculously at work for my best interest, his glory. He is sovereign. I've got a great buddy, known him for 35 years, and he's Keith Chancey, worked with me at camp. All the time, he would say this, it's all good. It's all good, no matter what it was. He was, as many of you in this room, his wife had lost several babies. But you know what he'd say, it's all good. The only reason he could say that is because God is good. He's got this plan. And he's thankful because it keeps him dependent. It's all in your plan, Lord. It's your plan. It's not my plan. He's got it. He's got me covered. Super encouraging to me over the past few months. Well, the third point here, the prophetic pummeling. Okay, I had to get a P in there, pummeling. But it works. It works. So let's go back to verse 11. And this is the warnings. Okay, this is God's warning to us. Moses said, beware. The ESV says, lest. Other versions say, take care. In other words, take heed. Give attention to. Focus on this. This is important that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? And true faith is always displayed in our obedience. So he's saying, remember the Lord your God. Don't forget him and keep his statutes. That's how we say we love him. Now here's what happens. Lest or otherwise, after you've eaten and are satisfied, this is where I think it applies to all of us in America. When you've eaten and are satisfied, and you've built good houses and you lived in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And when we think that we're the ones who've done it, and we forget that we were once slaves, been set free only because of Christ. And it continues this warning in verse 17 through 20. So you can go to there. It says, otherwise, or lest, you say in your heart, it's my power. It's my grades. It's my ability. And it's my salesmanship. It's my hard work. It's me. It's my strength of my hand that made me this wealth. I'm a self-made man. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with you. You know, it's easy to take God for granted, isn't it? We feel like, you know, we've earned kind of our place, and we've earned the money that we got, and we forget from where it came. You know, our pride is us stiff-arming God when we begin to say in our heart, you know, I'm okay with the way things are right now. And God becomes a little G to us, right? When we have the stuff, and we tend to stiff-arm the one who gave it to us in the first place. And our pride is the biggest stumbling block in our lives. Something we got to check all the time. So that's why the stern warning, remember, don't forget, verse 18, this covenantal God swore all of this to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, look what happens. And you go after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you today that you will surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So you will perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. May that not be me. We can't let our hearts pursue the pleasures and comforts of this world. Woe to us. Woe to us. This is a serious warning to keep us from deserved judgment. So the prophetic pummeling there serves as a warning. It's a warning to us. And take a look at 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, verse 8. Understand this, and in the last days will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding their faith. Lovers of self, disobedient, proud, ungrateful. It's a great warning that we should be grateful always, every minute, because every minute I'm prone to turn away from the Lord and be disobedient. I need a constant reminder of who God is and what He's done and what He's going to do to keep me focused on obedience with the Lord. So what is the answer? Well, the takeaway is persistent praise. Right, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks always. Give thanks always. The answer for us to remember is to be grateful. Every minute. Be great. We need to be grateful for every breath that we take. Grateful to God. Now, the quality of being, this is a good definition of gratitude. It's the quality of being thankful. It's a readiness to show appreciation and return, and to return kindness. Now, to get a good quote by somebody, I don't have any idea who he is, but some of you guys do. Marcus Tullius Cicero. Sounds important. Some of you Latin people may know. Sounds like it's from that part of the world. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but it's the parent of all virtues. Okay? Think about that for a second. A gracious person, a grateful person is humble, is happy, is generous. It's the kind of guy you want to be around, a person like that. Why is gratitude the parent of all virtues? Well, to quote Tommy Nelson, he would say, a person who is grateful appreciates a higher source of benevolence. He understands the big picture of our existence. Because of that, a person has a recognition of authority and will have accountability in his actions. I'm endowed by my Creator. I'm made in His image, to whom deserves my respect and admiration. I want to be a grateful person. If I'm not grateful to my Savior, how will I be grateful to those who have given me less? Isn't that great? You know, the Talmud says this. It takes it one step further. It says, it is forbidden for any man to take enjoyment from this present world without thanksgiving. And everyone who does so is a transgressor. That. So, how do we remember? Lots of ways. One is by reading scriptures like this constantly. For memory. It's really helpful when you don't have the word. There, okay. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, not all his benefits. Next. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's one of the reasons we come to church, isn't it? To be reminded, that's why we go to Bible study. That's why we go to community group. That's why we go to men's and women's. It's because we need continually to be reminded of God's greatness towards us. And you'll be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. William Law says, do you know who's the greatest saint in the world? Well, it's not the one who prays the most or who fasts the most. It's not the one who gives the most or is known for being wise or pure or maybe the most fair and just. It is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it.